Chapter number 10, Mark chapter number 10. What a blessing it is to preach God's holy word to each of you today. We pray God's richest blessings upon you. Pray that this is a blessed Lord's day. Mark chapter number 10, and in just a moment we'll begin reading in verse 46. If you have been with us the last several weeks, we have been preaching through the book of Mark, but particularly the last several weeks, chapter 10. And chapter 10 has been full of various subjects and topics and even events. It starts out with Jesus speaking about marriage and divorce and remarriage. And then Jesus talks about the gift and blessing of children. And then Jesus talks about the dangers of riches. And then also Jesus talks about his coming crucifixion and how he is going to be beaten. He is going to be betrayed. He is going to die on the cross for sins, for our sins. But also he is going to be resurrected on the third and glorious day. And then we saw last week how Jesus taught what it means to be a servant in the kingdom of God. And we've looked at all of those things, and now we come to the last section of Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. It says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, from a beggar to a believer. From a beggar to a believer. Let's pray together once again. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, already for this service. We thank you, Lord, for the dedication of these two blessed children. God, we do pray that you bless each and every person that is here. We pray, Lord, you bless the preaching of your word. I pray, Lord, you give us listening ears and hearts that are receptive to hear your word. And Lord, through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help all those that are here. I pray that those who are here who are lost, I pray, God, that you would give them understanding of who Christ is and why he came and died and rose again 3 days later. Father, we love you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we come to Mark chapter 10, verse 46, you will recall that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the holy city. For the last time, he will go there as they will take him. As he has already said in the previous verses, they will take him, arrest him falsely, beat him, and crucify him. So this is his final journey. This is his final pilgrimage, you could say, to Jerusalem. And as he goes through Jerusalem, he goes through the city of Jericho. The name Jericho means a place of fragrance. A place of fragrance. The reason it was given that unusual name is because of the beautiful fragrances that were found in that city. There were rose gardens all over the city. There were balsam and cypress plants and bushes, all kinds of fragrant bushes there. But oh, listen to me, there came a day when the Lord Jesus Christ came to Jericho. There was walking through the city on this day who was the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Never had there been such a fragrance in Jericho as the day when Jesus came walking through. Now remember, the pilgrims were on their way to Jerusalem, and so the roads were jammed and they were packed with travelers as they were getting ready to go to Jerusalem for Passover. People were lining the roads to get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible tells us about this man, this blind man, Bartimaeus. And probably if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard about blind Bartimaeus. Many sermons have been preached about this man. Many songs have been written about this man. But when Jesus was on this earth, we know, we've seen this preaching through the Gospel of Mark, Jesus healed many types of sicknesses, and he healed many types of diseases. He healed people with those who were lame. He cleansed those who were lepers. He even raised the dead. But for Bartimaeus, Jesus gave unto him sight. As we observe this encounter this morning between Jesus and this blind beggar, I want you to look at your own hearts this morning. And if you have been saved by the grace of God, I pray that this message this morning would encourage you to see just how greatly divine grace has fallen upon your life. That you'd leave here rejoicing in the fact that God, through the Holy Spirit, has given you sight to see. And I pray for you here this morning and you are lost. You've never bowed your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that today the Holy Spirit would reveal the authenticity of the gospel message and the trueness of who Christ is to you. So I want us to look at very quickly from a beggar to a believer. First of all, the condition of Bartimaeus. What was the condition of Bartimaeus? Well, we notice right from the beginning, Bartimaeus was blind. Verse 46 tells us, they came to Jericho, and as he went out, as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, it says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And so, sadly, we see Bartimaeus was blind, and that was not unusual at all in those days. Sadly, in biblical times, being physically blinded presented significant challenges that went well beyond mere inconvenience. I mean, just think about this. Without the ability to see, in those days especially, think about all the hardships that one would face. I mean, even the simplest tasks that one would have to undergo being blind in those days, even the simplest tasks would have been extremely difficult for them. Here, Bartimaeus would have faced constant dangers in his life because of his blindness. Navigating those crowded streets, he could possibly be on the precipice of a cliff or some type of danger. I mean, even the simplest activities like finding food and finding adequate shelter would have been very difficult for him. And then think about this fact. More than likely, Bartimaeus was blind from his birth. And so therefore, Bartimaeus knew nothing of what it was like to see a beautiful sunrise or the beautiful colors of a sunset. He had never been able to gaze upon the natural beauty of God's creation. If he was born from his childhood, from his birth, then that means he's never seen the face of his loved ones. And so Bartimaeus's physical blindness was not just a physical ailment. It was a, beloved, a profound barrier that cut him off from fully experiencing the world around him, leaving him perpetually in a state of darkness. So Bartimaeus lived in a very narrow world. He lived in a world of darkness. But the Bible tells us that he was not only blind, but the Bible also tells us that he was a beggar. Verse 46 tells us that blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And the fact that Bartimaeus was blind and that he was a beggar was no surprise living in those days, because in the Bible times, begging was the only option for survival for individuals like Bartimaeus, because they were unable to work. They were unable to do the common things that individuals in those days would have. Because of his blindness, he was unable to do those things. And so Bartimaeus's condition left him unable to provide for himself. And think about this, there were no government programs to help the blind. There were no government agencies whatsoever that could help Bartimaeus in his condition. And so as a result, Bartimaeus was forced to rely upon the generosity of others to meet his basic needs. And so we see him, he's sitting on the roadside, he's begging, he has his hand extended. He's hoping for someone to be generous and offer him just a little bit of food or give him just a little bit of money. So this life of begging would have been not only physically demanding on Bartimaeus, but you can imagine just how emotional taxing it would be as well. As Bartimaeus would have been very much aware that his existence, that his life was dependent upon the generosity and goodwill of others. But here's what I want you to see as we think about Bartimaeus's physical condition. He's blind and he's a beggar. Here's what I want you to see. Bartimaeus's physical condition serves as a picture, serves to us as an illustration of man's spiritual blindness before a holy God. And just as Bartimaeus was unable to see the world around him, the Bible tells us, the Bible describes how those who are spiritually blinded, that they are unable to discern the truths of the kingdom of God. They are unable to see and understand fully the thing of salvation and the gospel. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, "But the natural man, that is the man in his lost condition, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And so the Apostle Paul, beloved, tells us the inherent spiritual blindness of those who are not born again by the Spirit of God, that they are unable to grasp the spiritual realities that reveal to us the gospel. The Apostle Paul also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, tells us why those who are outside of Christ do not receive the things of God. And Paul tells us that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers, preventing their ability to perceive the truth of the glory of Christ. And so we see the picture here that just as Bartimaeus was reduced to begging for his survival, we as spiritual beggars are utterly dependent upon God's grace for our spiritual sight. But there's one thing also I want you to notice about Bartimaeus. He knew he was blind. He knew that he was in perpetual darkness. I mean, from the darkness of his mother's womb, he had passed into the darkness of this world. But unlike so many others who are in spiritual darkness today, at least Bartimaeus knew what his problem was. He was blind. This was Charles Colson's own experience the night that he came to Christ. Charles Colson, or better known as Chuck Colson, many of you know he was an attorney and a political advisor to President Nixon. He was involved in the Watergate scandal, and he served 7 months in federal prison. However, after his release, a close friend of his shared the gospel of Christ to him. And this is what he said the night that Chuck Colson was converted. He said, "That night, when I sat alone in my car my own sin, not just dirty politics, but the hatred and evil so deep within me was thrust forcefully and painfully before my eyes. For the first time in my life, he said, I felt unclean. And worst of all, I could not escape. In those moments of clarity, I found myself driven irresistibly into the arms of the living God. Hallelujah for that. I've spoken to two gentlemen just this past month who has given to me this same powerful testimony that they were just minding their own business per se, but God just opened their spiritual eyes, that they were able to see their sin as it really is before a holy God. And so we see the condition of Bartimaeus. Notice with me the cry of Bartimaeus. Secondly, the cry of Bartimaeus. Verse 47 tells us when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, listen, this cry of Bartimaeus was a passionate cry. It was a passionate cry. Bartimaeus' cry to Jesus was not just a casual request. No, it was a passionate plea. It was a plea that was born out of desperation. The Greek word used for cry means to cry out loudly, to shout, to call out. And here it emphasizes the intensity. It emphasizes the fervency with which Bartimaeus called out to Jesus, again, just highlighting and indicating his determination. And so Bartimaeus, his cry was not a timid cry of that of a blind man and a beggar. It was not a passive cry. No, beloved, his cry was an impassioned cry, a cry that echoed through the bustling crowd, a cry that was so loud it cut through the noise of the street as he recognized the Lord Jesus Christ was going to pass before him. So his plea was not a mere wish for a temporary fix. Bartimaeus' passionate cry was not just for relief from his physical ailment. Rather, it was an earnest appeal for a radical change and a longing for restoration and wholeness that he knew only Christ could give. We see that in his cry, we witness the depth of Bartimaeus' faith. And we see, as we think about Bartimaeus' faith here, that it was an informed faith. Bartimaeus had an informed faith. Bartimaeus had no doubt had heard about Jesus. He had heard about the miraculous works that Jesus had performed. And so this indicates that he possessed knowledge of who Jesus was. He possessed some type of understanding of Jesus' power and Jesus' authority. He no doubt had heard about how Jesus had healed blind men in the past. And here Bartimaeus is thinking, hey, if he's done it before, he can do it again. Amen? But notice Bartimaeus cries out and he says, Jesus, thou Son of David. Listen, though Bartimaeus was certainly no theologian, he was not a theologian and probably did not understand fully the implications of what he was saying. He had at least come to an exalted or a lofty conclusion about who Christ is. When he says, Jesus, thou Son of David, he's declaring that Jesus is the Messiah. He's coming out of the messianic lineage of King David. But in doing so, Bartimaeus has greater insight than most of the people in that crowd that day. Bartimaeus saw some things about Jesus that most people didn't see. That Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Christ. Someone once bluntly asked the blind and deaf Helen Keller. They said to her, isn't it terrible to be blind. To which she responded, "It is better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing." Right? There were a lot of folks that day who had perfect 20/20 vision, but they were spiritually blinded to who Christ was, or to Christ is. But listen, just as Bartimaeus had first heard about Jesus' power and His authority before he ever cried out to Jesus, all those who come to faith in repentance to Jesus do so after hearing the message of the gospel of Christ. This is what Paul meant when he said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he said, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So listen, beloved, hearing the gospel is a prerequisite for genuine faith. And we see this, the Apostle John says much of the same thing in John 20 and verse 31, where John says, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." So John tells us that the purpose of the gospel accounts, the purpose of the Word of God is so that we might be able to hear it, and through that hearing might then have knowledge and an understanding of the identity of who Christ Jesus is, that would lead us then to eternal life. So we see Bartimaeus and his passionate cry, but we also see in verse 47 his personal cry. His personal cry. He cried out and he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So Bartimaeus' personal cry to Jesus acknowledges that he is in a wretched condition. He acknowledges that he is in desperate need for help. And notice that he does not approach Jesus with a sense of entitlement. He doesn't approach Jesus with a sense of being demanding. And that's the world in which we live in today, right? No, but rather he approaches Jesus with humility. He's recognizing his own unworthiness and his own inability to save himself. In other words, he comes to Jesus the way all of us should approach Jesus. He comes to Jesus with a humble heart. He's fully aware of his own limitations. He fully knows well his own inability to save himself. This humility is evident, beloved, in his cry for mercy. Bartimaeus doesn't ask for justice. Bartimaeus does not demand fairness. Instead, he pleads for mercy. Bartimaeus understands that he is utterly dependent upon the grace and compassion of Jesus for his healing and restoration. All this teaches us the biblical truth, beloved, that salvation is not earned through our own merits. Salvation is not earned through our own efforts, but rather salvation is received as a gift of God's grace and God's mercy. Notice in verse 48, his persistent cry. So he cries out in verse 47, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And then verse 48 says, "Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" You can just imagine the people around him who were trying to quieten him down. "Bartimaeus, be quiet. Jesus is coming by. Jesus is walking by. He doesn't have time for you. You're just a poor beggar. You're just a poor blind man." But we notice that despite the attempts of the crowd to try to silence him, Bartimaeus refuses to give up. He refuses to be discouraged. And in this verse, we see that his persistence reveals a steadfast faith in Jesus' ability to save him and to help him. Bartimaeus boldly continues to cry out to Jesus despite the pressures from the crowd that would have loved to silence him. Bartimaeus recognizes the significance of Jesus' presence and refuses to let this opportunity to pass him by. He understands that Jesus alone has the power to meet his needs. And Bartimaeus is absolutely unwilling to let this opportunity to pass him by. Now think about it. Had he listened to the crowd and been quiet and thought, you know, I'll just wait for another day for Jesus to stop by Jericho, that day would have never came. Jesus would never enter Jericho again because he is going to go to Jerusalem and he is going to die there. So Bartimaeus teaches us in real life of the admonition that the Apostle Paul gives when the Apostle Paul says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Today. Now. Listen, there are a lot of procrastinators in hell. Those who said, you know, I'll give my heart to Jesus later. No, today is the day of salvation. So Bartimaeus' persistent cry is not merely a passive request, but rather it is an active demonstration of his strong faith. And so we see the condition of blind Bartimaeus. We see the cry of Bartimaeus. Notice the cure. Notice thirdly the cure. We see in verse 49 that it was personal. Verse 49 says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. He is calling you. Think about that statement where it says, and Jesus stood still. Here is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He is on his way to, in just a few days, he is going to be betrayed by his own. He is going to be falsely accused and found guilty falsely. He is going to be beaten. He is going to be scourged. He is going to be crucified. An excruciating, painful death. Yet there is one blind man with one voice in the midst of many voices. This one blind man with one voice is crying for mercy. And the Bible tells us that Jesus stood still. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So this highlights for us, beloved, Jesus' unfailing love. It highlights for us his care for each individual, regardless of social status, regardless of their physical condition. Bartimaeus' encounter with Jesus was not a mere coincidence, but rather it was a divine appointment that was orchestrated by the Lord himself. Notice verse 50, after they have told Bartimaeus, hey, rise, he is calling you. Verse 50 says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus, his immediate response to Jesus' call, exemplifies for us genuine faith. Genuine faith in action. He demonstrates his trust in Jesus by throwing aside his outer garment, symbolizing his readiness to leave behind anything and everything that might hinder him from coming to Jesus Christ. This act of faith, beloved, reflects the biblical teaching that genuine repentance always involves a decisive turning away from sin and a wholehearted commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 51 tells us, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now we notice, it's very interesting, the same question Jesus asked James and John in verse 36. You remember that? We saw last week. Jesus asked James and John, what would you have me to do? Well, we see here how the Lord's question reveals a very different attitude than that of James and John. James and John wanted what? They wanted position. They wanted power. They wanted prestige in the kingdom of God. But here, blind Bartimaeus is asking for mercy. You see how, this is why it's so important to preach verse by verse through Scripture. Because you see what Jesus is trying to teach us here by essentially asking the same question to Bartimaeus of what he asked to James and John, but two different responses. One was filled with pride. James and John. The other was filled with humility. It's amazing. Notice it was a powerful cure. Verse 51 tells us, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. So again, Bartimaeus' response here just exemplifies genuine faith. That despite his physical blindness, Bartimaeus had amazing spiritual insight. His request for sight is not made out of selfish ambition, but out of a sincere desire to experience the fullness of life that comes from being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus' response to Jesus calling him Rabboni demonstrates a profound acknowledgement of Jesus' authority and lordship over his life. By addressing Jesus as my master, that's what Rabboni means, Bartimaeus willingly submits himself to Jesus as his sovereign, recognizing Jesus' power and authority to bring about the change that Bartimaeus desperately needs. And again, in contrast to James and John, who sought for position, who sought for honor, who sought for elevation in Jesus' kingdom, Bartimaeus approaches Jesus with humility and a deep awareness of his own unworthiness. He understands that he deserves nothing and he can do nothing to merit any favor of Jesus. Instead, he comes before Jesus with a heart of humility, seeking only mercy and grace, desiring to receive what he knows he does not deserve. Notice verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. The use of the Greek word there, well, is frequently used in the New Testament to refer to salvation. And so this indicates that Bartimaeus not only received physical healing, he not only received physical sight, but also he experienced spiritual healing. He experienced eternal salvation. And so this transformative encounter with Jesus, it goes far more beyond, beloved, physical sight. It opens Bartimaeus' spiritual eyes to the truth of who Jesus is and the reality of his kingdom. And think about this. Every bit of this is all of Christ. It's all of Christ. Jesus is the one who came to him. For blind Bartimaeus could not come to Jesus, and it was the Savior who called forth his faith. Salvation is all of Christ. Bartimaeus was saved both physically and spiritually, and as a result of that, Bartimaeus began following Jesus on the road. Which is what? That is a tangible sign. It is a wonderful manifestation that there has been a profound faith and a profound change in one's life. And so Bartimaeus' response serves as a powerful testimony to the transformative power of encountering Jesus and a profound impact of faith in him. That just as Bartimaeus' spiritual eyes were opened to the truth of Jesus' lordship, listen, may we also humbly submit ourselves to Jesus as our sovereign, seeking his mercy and grace and experiencing the fullness of salvation that's only found in him. It's very interesting that the parallel story of blind Bartimaeus is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 20. However, Matthew does not disclose for us Bartimaeus' name. Scholars say the reason that Mark preserves Bartimaeus' name was that Bartimaeus became a stalwart in the Jerusalem church. It's amazing. He followed Jesus. Think about this. From that point onward, he followed Jesus in the way. He witnessed then the next week the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. He would witness then the horror of the crucifixion. But he would also witness, beloved, the joy of the resurrection. Amen? My soul. Talk about one's eyes getting full. The things that he was able to see after the Lord gave him sight. Very interesting. This is the last recorded healing that Mark gives us. And it's very interesting that Mark begins with Jesus healing a blind man, and then also Mark ends Jesus' miracle by ending with the healing of a blind man. But then, like Bartimaeus, we were all born blind until Jesus gave us sight. Is that amazing? And listen, just like Bartimaeus, we brought Jesus nothing. We brought Jesus nothing but our own weakness and our own need. And yet He graced us with His power. And He graced us with His blessing. And praise God that Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus when he cried out, "Have mercy on me." And praise God, Jesus stopped for you and me when we cried out to Jesus to have mercy on us. And praise God, Jesus is still stopping. He's still responding to those who call on His name. He says He will cast no one aside. Those who come to Him by faith. Oh, I pray that today, if you're here and you never have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that today that you would call upon Him. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon Him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for this powerful, powerful description of not only a physical healing, but Lord, the description of a spiritual healing. And what You did for Bartimaeus, You do for every sinner who comes to You humbly and by faith. And Lord, I pray that again, for those of us who have been saved, even for many years, that we would leave here saying, "Oh, what a Savior, what a Lord who stopped by my way and heard my humble cry." And Lord, I pray that those that are here who are lost, I pray that God, that You would speak to them, speak life to them. I pray that they would call upon You in humility, knowing and trusting that You will hear. Father, we love You, and we ask all these things in Christ's name.